What if every student had a tutor and personalized learning was available to everyone? What if every family had a financial guide and their investments made for an optimistic future? What if every doctor could diagnose you in seconds and healthcare visits felt more personal? What if your business never slept and every customer's shopping experience felt like it was designed especially for them? It can with Agentforce, the powerful AI from Salesforce.
Does Friendly have a taste? If it does, it's probably like Hello's peppermint-flavored anti-plaque and whitening toothpaste. Brush away plaque, show tartar who's boss, and remove surface stains to naturally whiten. Hello's thoughtful and flavor-forward products make brushing your teeth feel like a confetti-filled bathroom dance party. So say hello to Hello with the always cruelty-free, never tested on animals toothpaste that's made to spread smiles. Visit HelloProducts.com and let Hello add some everyday yay into your life.
You're listening to the Hidden Killers podcast with Tony Bruschi.
Featuring attorney, guest, and former felony prosecutor Eric Fadis.
The trial of Karen Reed. Yep, it's still going on. And lots of witnesses testifying. We're hearing from many of the individuals that were, well, kind of pointed at in the conspiracy idea. It's still being floated in this case. And they're given the defense of Karen Reed, I think, a run for their money. Great attorneys there for Karen Reed. But at the same point, I'm curious as to how you are taking this. Eric Fadis, defense attorney, former prosecutor. Thoughts on this last week of really heated testimony?
Yeah, you know, Tony, there were really some fireworks on the stand and in that courtroom, some contentious exchanges between these witnesses and the attorneys. And, you know, there are a few things that stood out. One is, you know, just this ongoing alleged confession at the scene that Karen Reed made saying, I hit him. Multiple government witnesses have testified to that. That is damning for the defense. But there have been some discrepancies and inconsistencies with government witnesses. So the defense is still in it.
And there is some question there, especially about that phone and the time that the Google search was made, searching for information on how long to die in snow. And that's paraphrasing. It was misspelled 50 different ways. But how long to die in snow? How long for that hypothermia to kick in? We're going to hear very soon from some experts with Cellbrite that will give us some very interesting, you know, information. It might be all come down to that. What's your thoughts on that? Because the testimony that we heard this week, it kind of made sense about why Jen McCabe did search for that, if in fact the timeline can be lined up correctly.
Yeah, you know, it did. One thing that the defense was really pressing is that, you know, Jen McCabe, a friend of John O'Keefe, had searched this how long to die in the cold because, you know, perhaps she knew that something was going on bad outside. But she's saying that Karen Reed just told her to search that in the morning. The timeline, like you said, is what's really critical. And we're going to have some experts come in to testify as to whether this search from Jen McCabe happened at like around 2 a.m., which would be before police were there and before this Karen Reed conversation, allegedly, or if it was 6 a.m. or after that, which would support the government's theory that Karen Reed asked Jen McCabe to search that.
Well, and even if, you know, if Karen Reed didn't even ask her once she found out that there's a body in the front yard, which would be later in the morning, one would logically maybe think of that. And her testimony has not been anything to the effect of, well, John didn't come in the house, so I'm just curious, like, what if he's out there? That's not at all what Jen McCabe said. It's a direct request or urgent need to look into that. And right next to that, that's the other questionable thing about the data is she's searching for information on her daughter's potential basketball team, like nanoseconds before the search for dead in the, or how long to die in the cold. And if that's accurate, it doesn't make a lot of sense either for those two searches to be going on side by side. That almost kind of makes you go, maybe there's a glitch here in the data. I don't know.
Yeah, no, I think it's definitely peculiar. And you know, one thing, especially the public thinks that like, oh, you get these cell phone records and they must be absolutely correct and just objective evidence that is indisputable. But this trial is showing us that's not the case.
Yeah,
that reasonable minds can differ as to what the data is, whether it's erroneous and how to interpret it. And so that is one thing the jury might have to decide is what these cell phone records really mean.
Well, when we think of data, we think, you know, hard fact. This is a timestamp. This is it. You can't argue it. Have you ever been in a situation like that where the data like that just isn't as you know, accurate or factual as we think it is? And how do you combat that?
Yeah, you know, I've had cases where, you know, you look at the digital forensic download of either a device or a phone or something like that. And you know, most of it looks right, but parts of it kind of raise some eyebrows. And you're like, what? That can't be accurate. That there couldn't have been this internet search at, you know, 1 a.m. When my client was elsewhere or mm-hmm. whatever. And so, yeah, those questions arise. And so that's why you've really got to scrutinize any evidence that comes forward and keep an open mind about the fact that machines make mistakes and people make mistakes.
Yeah, and that's, I think, an interesting one because we rely on that data so heavily these days. And to think, oh, maybe it's not quite as accurate as we thought it was, you know, is interesting. Now, obviously, the search for the subject itself of dying in snow, that wouldn't just happen by random happenstance, but the timing is what it all really comes down to.
Want to listen ad-free? Want advanced access to all of our interviews before anyone else?
Become a True Crime Today Premium Plus subscriber on Apple Podcasts.
You get every episode commercial-free,
so you can binge on true crime
until you can binge no more.
Search True Crime Today Premium Plus on Apple Podcasts now, or go to our podcast page and sign up now.
More of the Hidden Killers podcast next.
You're great at protecting your own personal information. You probably even use things like two-factor authentication, strong passwords, and a VPN. But as much as you try to be in control of how your information is protected, there are lots of places that also have it, and they might not be as careful as you are. That's why LifeLock monitors millions of data points every second for identity threats. If your identity is stolen, a LifeLock U.S.-based restoration specialist will help solve identity theft issues on your behalf, guaranteed or your money back. Plus, all LifeLock plans are backed by the $1 Million Protection Package, meaning LifeLock will reimburse you up to the limits of your plan if you lose money due to identity theft. You might not be able to control how others handle your personal information, but you can help protect it with LifeLock. Save up to 40% your first year. Call 1-800-LIFELOCK and use promo code IHEART or go to LifeLock.com/iHeart for 40% off. Terms apply.